We're back for another exciting episode of The Spicy Life. I am your relationship expert and magnetic matchmaker, Spicy Mari. And for today's episode of How to End the Gender Wars, we are featuring the beautiful, the lovely B. Simone. The crowd goes wild. We got B in the G-spot.
B. Simone.
You guys are already familiar with her as a comedian, an actress, founder of B. Simone Beauty, yes. And host of Know For Sure podcast. Yes.
Girl.
And my client, right? Like you
literally,
guys, I coached you during your past relationship and I had to bring you on today's episode to talk about relationships.
Yeah.
One of the funniest women who I know. So blessed to have you on the show.
Thank you. I miss you so much. I love you. I haven't seen you in so long.
I know. This is going to be juicy because I already know that you are one of the most vulnerable people ever.
I am. I'm so honest.
So, yeah, too honest.
too honest.
I had to help you with that a little bit in your past relationship.
I know. You're like, okay, girl, be quiet, say it like this. Don't tell him that. She's like, I would type out something. She's like, okay, now what you're going to do is delete that.
And we're going to rewrite
it. Back then, they didn't have unsend. But they have unsend now.
I know. So. I'm like, that's a godsend right there, literally. Well, before we get into how to end gender wars, you are going to share with us when you first fell in love with yourself. That's the spice breaker.
Oh my gosh.
What was that moment that you said to yourself, I am incredible and I really, really love myself?
Wow. Thankfully, I think that was at a young age. Mm. Like, I think I always was pretty confident and had a lot of self-love. But actually, recently, I would say I started to battle with things that I never had to battle with before. Mm. Losing confidence, maybe a little insecurities here and there, a little like things that I'm like, well, I don't see how somebody could be like that. Or how is she jealous? Or I don't get that. I'm not like that. I'm like, God will humble you and you will start to feel these human emotions. And the best way that I got out of that and still coming out of that is just going to him. Like literally coaching myself through it, the affirmations, believing, knowing who I am. But I've never really dealt with low self-esteem, low confidence, insecurities, like to that extent that affected me until recently. Mm. And that was because I changed so much. Like the person that got me to where I am.
Yeah.
I changed. So I'm like, I'm not even that person anymore. So I started to not want to fully be myself in this season or like, I still have to be this crazy girl that I was when I went viral at 26. Well, I'm 33 now. I'm not the same, you know? I'm like, I am not that girl that I'm still part of her, but that is not all of me right now. So it caused me to have like, I'm like, oh my God, are they going to love the new me? Are they going to, but just be myself in every season. So, I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, I think, your point, like what you're saying is that while you went through this journey of like evolution, right? You had to give yourself permission to grow, and then other people had to give you permission to grow too, and then you had to kind of
fall in love with who I
became. Yeah, who's this new version?
Who is this
of
new person?
Me,
yeah,
with a little bit of old, a little bit of new.
Yeah,
who is this person now?
Yeah,
how did you realize? Because you said you had to do like some affirmations and getting back to love of self. How did you realize you were out of love with yourself?
The things I was feeling, like that I had never felt before. I've always been confident. The light in the room. I walk in a room. I'm like, you know how they'd be like, the loudest in the room is the most insecure. I don't know if
that ain't true.
I don't think that's true. To a certain extent, I feel like if you're loud and you're just not yourself and you just want attention, but I like being joy. I like having fun. I like being like owning my.
Owning
my shit before anybody else says it. Like, oh, she has a gap. I'm like, I make fun of my gap already. So it just helps me love myself when I say stuff about myself before somebody else says
it. But I feel like that's a comedian thing.
It is.
I hear comedians say all the time, like that they became funny or they realized they were funny because they made fun of themselves to get like, the insecurity of the thing away from
it. To get it away.
Yeah.
It might be a defense mechanism at first. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, y'all are going to make fun of this. So let me just make fun of it. But it causes you to be like my friend yesterday, we were talking. She was like, you think you'd ever get veneers and close your gap? I'm like, actually, no. Actually, no, I wouldn't. Like, it's become a part of, it's like just who I am. It doesn't bother me, you know? But, that is like what I'm going through now. I think, to answer your question, I knew when I started to feel feelings that I never really felt before. Mm-hmm. And maybe if I did, I wasn't as aware. I'm more self-aware now. So I'm like, dang, like I do feel not really confident walking in a room. Dang, I am getting kind of anxious. Damn, maybe I am insecure about that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't feel like I speak as eloquently or as, you know, I don't sound like super smart or super, you know, I started to have these little things that made me doubt myself. And I had never, ever dealt with that before.
So like the incidences were like you going on stage or interviews, like what were you participating in that you would afterwards reflect and be like, oh, did I do that right?
Probably like in a room full of people, like anxiousness in a room. Like before I'm the life of the party, I'm walking in a room and now I walk into rooms. I'm more like timid or more like, I'm like, why am I changing? Why do I feel like this? Like I used to be lit in every room. It might be a little bit of maturity. And a lot of it is also too, like, I think, being publicly like canceled after that, it took me a lot to get back up out of my shell and be like, you know what? People do still love me. Like everybody in the world doesn't hate you, Braylon. Like it's okay. You're not, I walk into a room, I'm like, everybody's looking at me. Girl, nobody even knows you're here. So that was a mental thing. Like I'm walking into a room, like, does everybody hate me? Am I canceled? You know, but getting out of that and just having feelings that I never felt before, acknowledging them and literally speaking life into myself, talking to God about it, like seriously rebuking it off of me and I'm walking in boldness, I'm walking in freedom, I'm walking in courage, even when I don't feel it, getting that back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you've always been a spiritual person. I feel like anytime you've struggled with anything, even when we were going through the Spicy Life program, it was very much like, I'm going to ask you spicy, but then I'm also going to throw my problems in front of the Lord as well. And so.
Yeah, for sure.
There's always been the spirituality, a part of any growth like journey that you've been on.
Yeah.
And so I love that you're always cross-checking with like self and then also like a higher power.
For sure. Because I mean, like I'm in therapy. I've been super consistent with my therapist. I had you as a relationship coach, which I'm going to come back as a single woman now.
Yes, because it's very different.
It's time too. But God puts those people in your life as tools.
Yeah.
They're vessels. You're a vessel. God can speak through you. God can speak through my therapist. God can speak through my friends. But also I need to be able to hear his voice directly and be so in tune spiritually that, you know, whatever he tells me to do, I know that in my body, in my spirit, in my mind, like I might not know why I'm saying no to something, but it just doesn't feel right. That's the Holy Spirit for me.
You know?
So I want to use people and experiences and things as vessels also, but also have my direct connection with him.
And I love your honesty about it, right? Like not recognizing yourself, because then that gives just a little bit of confidence to other people to be able to vocalize or even acknowledge that like they may be struggling too. Mm-hmm. And I think like public figures need to do more of that, like showing our weaknesses versus always, you know, having to put up a character of perfection.
Yep.
So that's one of my favorite things about you is your vulnerability and honesty. You're going to be honest with me today.
Yeah, let's get it, girl.
And let's talk about the gender wars.
Okay.
So just to give people a little context exactly on what the gender wars are, it's the sentiment and stereotypes that are being vocalized right now in regards to males in the dating world being villainized, okay?
Yeah.
Being told or the story being painted that all men are toxic, all men are manipulators, all men are narcissists and cheaters.
Jesus.
And then the other storyline being that women are promiscuous, gold diggers, superficial, and only out for self.
And I don't believe either of those.
Okay. This narrative
is wild.
Is being told over and over. And I see it a lot when like any of the main like, you know, gossip pages on social media will post something that like someone tweeted or someone said. Mm-hmm. And you'll see like guys and girls in the comments.
Bantering.
Yeah, going back and forth going in on each other.
Women do this. Yeah, yeah.
Talking about like, here we go again, another topic of the gender wars.
Oh, Lord.
So what we are doing though is feeding into this as a culture. And so one, I want to hear your opinion on how you think we got there. How did we get to such a negative headspace about like male and female, this dating world that's going on right now?
Maybe I really don't have the answers, y'all. I am not an expert.
I know, but
as y'all know, I am single and I am trying to become my feminine self. I'm walking my feminine. I'm still working on that. But I would say the first thing that came in my mind, maybe it is because culture has changed so much and me being one, an alpha female, being an entrepreneur, being a leader, I have to, you know, I have my team under me. I lead my team. I'm a CEO. I'm the 1% of, you know, millionaires in this world that yeah. are like, as a woman and a woman of color, yep. it's like, I'm alpha this, I'm a leader, I'm this. Like when I'm on stage or I have a show, I'm like, I need you to do this. I'm the leader, mm-hmm. right? And making sure women that have to be that in their everyday life aren't taking that to their relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm still, you know, working on that and making sure in my next relationship I can sit back, let my partner lead. But maybe it's a little bit of that too. Like women are more independent now. Mm-hmm. Women are more, we got our own money now. Facts. So we're doing the providing. Some women feel like they have to do the protecting and things that were originally for the man, mm-hmm. women are doing, but just making sure we're not taking that to the relationship. I would love to be led in my relationship, mm-hmm. even though I'm a leader in my business, you know? So making sure I separate the two.
Yeah.
And I'm not like alpha, super alpha with my man.
So you think that this has to do with, it sounds like this has to do with masculine, feminine energy and the roles that we play in relationship yeah. kinds of being muddled.
Yeah.
Us not really being able to identify what role we should be playing yeah. or where we necessarily fit into relationships yeah. anymore.
And how to do it. Like, I understand there's masculine and feminine. I understand, okay, a male was here to protect and provide. And I'm going biblically, y'all. I'm just going based off of, like, God made the man. His first duty was the land. So you get what I'm saying? Like, protect, provide. Then it was, he brought Eve, okay? And then he, you know, was that. That's what I'm going by.
And then Eve had to cut the apple.
And she messed up all humanity. Oh, I still be like, now Eve, you made one little decision that's affecting us.
I don't know, they put that blame on us. I don't really know.
They say, well, where was Adam? Where was Adam? If he was leading, no, okay. See, that's the gender wars right
that's
there.
That's the gender wars right there. If Adam was doing his job,
she wouldn't have been snooping around for apples. Yeah. No. But I don't know where I was going with that. But saying that, you know, I don't want to, even though I have to do that in my business, mm-hmm. my everyday life, my single life, I'm still learning the roles prior to my spiritual journey, I've always been spiritual. Like mm-hmm, I've always loved sure. God. I'm a Christian woman. My dad's a pastor, grew up in the church. But for me, there's a huge difference between religion and relationship. And I feel like I've found a relationship with Jesus Christ mm-hmm. for myself recently, mm-hmm. starting last year. And now for me, I feel like everybody should have a blueprint. For me now, the blueprint is biblical, the Bible, and me learning more about that so I can learn my role as a woman, mm-hmm. as a wife, and know the type of man I'm looking for. Like, well, biblically, it says it right here. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to use something to hold us accountable, I want to use this rule book, because it's not rules, but this, you know, this book and go by this. I think people don't really have a standard or like, what are we basing it off of?
Okay, so to your point, as a fellow Christian, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to play mm-hmm. devil's advocate.
Okay, okay.
Because I already know what people's response. Like, I already know my listeners, and some of them are going to hear this and say, "But the Bible was written so long mm-hmm. ago, and
the Bible changed.
You couldn't be a CEO yeah. of Be Simone Beauty yeah. during that time.
So you have to apply it to 2023 reality. Yeah, I'm not saying like the woman has to cook, the woman has to clean, she has to be quiet. Women couldn't even talk in the church. Women couldn't even wear certain things. Like, of course, certain things are different now, but I do believe there are certain roles that God intended for mm-hmm. men. And if the man is doing that, making sure women, we choose our partners. Mm-hmm. So making sure you're choosing a man. Well, he this, well, he that. Well, you chose him. You know what I mean? Like, also take self-evaluation and reflect on self and be like, what is causing me to choose a man that doesn't know how to protect, mm-hmm. that doesn't know how to provide, that doesn't know how to do the things I want him to do? And making sure you're preparing yourself to choose the right partner. We choose our partners.
I think I'm hearing you want us as women to take accountability.
100%.
But I think what we also need to touch on is holding men accountable to raising other men.
Yeah.
I think that's something yep. that,
I agree with that
is missing within the yeah. culture is good men yeah. of high ethical standards yep. being present
yep.
in the home,
yep.
raising their
yep.
children.
Yep.
And I feel like when men don't have someone yep. who they respect to mirror,
yep.
right, they are winging it and figuring it out as they go along.
Yep.
And then we also live in a culture that since the beginning of time has always celebrated and given more permission to men to be actually more promiscuous and adventurous in the bedroom and with women. I think the other part of what's happening with the culture is that we've, as women, always like vocalized wanting to be in relationship. Us as women are naturally more relational.
Yeah.
And with us not holding men accountable to being relational and valuing commitment, we've given them permission and leeway to run amok. And this is not me putting blame on us. This is me understanding how much we want love that we are willing to accept sometimes crumbs.
Anything.
Just to have companionship.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I do think that when it comes to power, us as women have more power than we believe. And I speak to this oftentimes is let
I like, know that.
We have
got to tap into it.
Fallen from men having more power than us. While men are powerful, a woman who guides a man's emotions really has the power.
That's power.
There's power in that lit. For sure.
Show me how to do that.
Yes, I got you. I got
you. Like, come on back.
I just need you to listen.
I will. I do be listening. I'll be like, did I do this right?
You did good. You did good when you were in a relationship. Now being single is a whole.
It's so different.
Because now you're seeing like, oh, dang, I have to work again and feel good about what I'm doing, right? And not to say that, because I don't want to encourage that it's like slim pickings. What I do want, though, is for us to be like very clear on what we want and making sure that we release anything that doesn't serve us, anyone who isn't meant for us.
For sure.
But as far as the gender wars are concerned, I think that we have really like pitted ourselves against one another when we should be affirming one another. We should be encouraging one another. We should be uplifting one another.
Yep.
And should be is really easy to say. But now we need to be held accountable to actually doing that.
Yeah.
And that's the harder part is like, how do we change this narrative?
Yeah.
And so that's why I wanted to bring you on the episode to like brainstorm that, because you are an influencer. Mm-hmm. You have the power to change the game. Mm-hmm. And so imagine you plus all the other influencers out there or people who are in positions that are now, you know, speaking positively about the male and female species and the love that can be created.
I literally just posted something on my story yesterday.
What did you post?
Let me see. That is so crazy. What did I post? Just about, I just have a soft spot in my heart for Black men. And I just really do. And what did I post yesterday? I have such a special place in my heart for the Black man. I love loving on them, speaking life into them, making them feel seen. Black man, I love you. I just posted that yesterday.
Yay.
Like, I'm not about to be on my platform or anywhere, even in private, like, niggas ain't shit or men ain't this or men ain't. That does exist, but not in, I know there are amazing men out there. I know there are God-fearing men out there. I know there are men out there who desire to be husbands, not because their girl wants to get married, but because they truly want the family unit. They want to be a husband. They want to serve God. They want to protect and provide for their family and exude love and openness and depth. Mm-hmm. Come on. What book is that from? The book you told me to read. The Way of the Superior Man. Love, openness, and
death. So many people have read that since I started like making my clients read it.
Read it. Yeah.
Now a lot of people, I've made like men who were anti-relationship read it. And it's really changed their perspective. So my book is almost finished. It's still kind
come
of,
on,
it's been
come
a,
on.
A work in progress. I know. But you definitely...
But I believe
did,
that.
Yeah, you did. You definitely. But how did you? So this is the other part. Because part of what happens with us continuing this narrative of there's no good men is, one, we haven't experienced it, or we've been hurt by somebody who we cared for that mistreated us, right? So then we go and we tell
you
that story.
You get tainted, you upset, you're heartbroken.
And because we're hurt, we wind up getting another relationship and choosing and attracting someone else who continuously hurts us.
Yeah.
Because we haven't changed our vibration. We haven't done the healing work.
Mm-hmm.
How, after experiencing hurt or loss in a relationship, have you remained hopeful and loving?
I just know, first of all, I can't be the only human out here in the world. Like, if it's in me, it's in somebody else. Because I truly believe that for me. I believe I, by no means am I perfect. By no means am I, do I have it all together. I'm still trying to figure out how to walk in my feminine, how to be a wife. Am I ready to be a wife? Probably not. But in this season, I can prepare. But I believe it exists. I've never been, I've been almost every relationship I've been in, well, not almost, every single relationship I've been in that was like, actually, you're my girlfriend, I'm your boyfriend, I've been cheated on. Mm-hmm. And after everyone, like even my last one that you coached me through, RIP to Chris, I love you so much. We ended on, you know, a bad note. Mm-hmm. And thank God the last thing I said to him before he passed was something positive, which like I could tell you about that. But every relationship.
You don't want to tell us on the show?
Yeah, I can tell you. I will. I don't mind. I will tell you. I'll get back to that.
I want to know on the podcast.
Yeah.
On the spicy life.
I will. Right now. On the spicy life. Because you know, Chris, you know us together. But,
I
know.
And I just want to put the intervene really. That was a beautiful relationship.
It really was.
Although he had some demons that he did not share with us during the relationship, right? And there was voids that he needed to fill that clearly independent therapy would have helped serve him through. You guys did the right thing by trying to get counseling in your relationship
together,
to become better for one another. And he did make an effort and he was trying and he's
a good person. He was a good person. Like Chris was a great person. But every relationship, I've been heartbroken and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get through this. I'm gonna cry. And then next, like I'm not gonna get stuck at door number four if my husband is door 30.
Very good.
Keep knocking. I love love. I believe in love. I feel like I exude love. And I just believe that my husband is out there preparing for me, just like I'm preparing for him.
So what B just told you guys about is a analogy that I use for doors, right? And when you guys hear us say doors, oftentimes what will happen is we'll date a few people. And this also, if you guys are on dating apps or out there, dating period will make sense to you. We get into maybe liking someone or into relationship.
Stuck.
And we get stuck. You get to door number one, door number two, door number three, and maybe you have fallen hard for someone behind door number three. And that healing period or that recovery period maybe takes you forever to get through. And so the timing to get to door number 20, if your husband's behind door number 20, is a lot longer because you still have so many more lessons that you need to learn. So what B's referencing is her saying, like, in order to not stay stuck and to hurry up and get through these doors, she's not rushing through dating or relationships, but she's taking her love lesson and then
applying it
behind the next door. Okay, what did I learn from door number five, door number six, door number seven? Because if we spend 5 years trying to recover from door number three, we have wasted our entire youth on the wrong guy.
Yeah, the wrong guy.
And I want people to get better at that. I want them to understand that no one gets to escape the pain or the rejection in life or the heartbreak. But I think that we do allow it to break us. I think that oftentimes we see ourselves as damaged because of the rejection. Yep. What did you tell yourself in the moment that you found out your partner wasn't faithful?
Well, I made up my mind before the relationship. Like I think it's to the healing that you do personally and like the non-negotiables you set before and really sticking beside those and not breaking promises and commitments you made to yourself. Yep. I'm like, I don't care if we are walking down the aisle. If I am walking down that aisle and a girl says, I object, I'm fucking your husband. Guess what?
Goodbye.
So that was my non-negotiable in that moment. And that might change. I'm not saying like, if I was married, it would have been the same thing. Yeah. I don't know. I've never been a wife and had to walk away from a marriage. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But in the dating phase, for me, a non-negotiable is cheating. So I knew if that happened, no matter how I felt, no matter how much I love you, no matter we house shopping, it doesn't matter, I am going to walk away.
But if you've only experienced being cheated on, how do you continue to affirm or believe that all men don't cheat if all you've had is cheaters? Because there's someone out there who has experienced only cheaters. So to have this belief that a non-cheater is going to come into their life is very hard.
Yeah.
I want to know how you do it.
I don't know. I don't know why I believe that. I don't know if it's in me.
It stems from something.
And I go back to me. I think always the glass half full, always positive, always. That was a gift God gave me. Mm. And maybe I am a vessel to plant the seed in people that aren't naturally born with that gift.
Yeah.
Because I've always been like that since young. Like, one no does not, it doesn't move me. I'm like, okay, love you, bye. Or you're not good enough. I'm like, okay, it didn't break my, maybe that was a gift I was born with so that I can plant seeds in people that weren't born with that gift. Everybody has their different gifts.
Yep.
I feel like I've had that since a very young age.
So your gift would be like optimism.
Optimism. Glass half full, like always, like seeing the brighter side. If I fail at something, it's like, try again. Okay, I didn't do good. Oh, well, let me do. It was never like, woe is me.
Yeah.
It was, I've never been like that. And I ask myself that often recently, actually, because me and my friend had the conversation, like, where does that come from?
Yeah.
Why can you and your sibling be raised in the same household? And I'm like, get it together. My sister's here. She's in here somewhere.
Sissy poo.
But I'm like, don't you believe? It's all in you. You have the power. And she's like, actually, no, I don't. Yeah, I'm like, oh. But like, you know, it. I think I was born with that gift and God is using me to plant the seed of hope and in people that weren't born with it.
I think the other part is that people need to understand is that while you are telling yourself a positive thought, right? Like, mm-hmm. okay, I was just cheated on, but all men don't cheat, right?
100%.
Like, that's the positive thought.
100%.
You are giving yourself permission to go and try again and attempt to prove what could be a negative thought, right? That, like, yeah. there's no good men. You're actually out on a mission to prove to yourself
yep.
through the actions that you're taking
yep.
that positive things can happen yep. again, where other people won't give themselves a chance. Some
yeah.
people are cheated on or their hearts are broken and it takes them down for the count. And they're like, I'm just not going to put myself back out there
or
again.
Or they're like, I will. And if he cheats, oh, well, I'm just going to stay if he's a good,
they'll
a
accept
good
it.
Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, or just, well, all men do. Like that bothers me so much when women are like, girl, all niggas ain't shit. All men cheat. Mm-hmm. Like, girl, it is what it is. You're going to get a little cheated on. I'm like, there's no way you can believe that. Cause are you just, and some of them might be like, are you a cheater? They're like, yeah, girl, I cheat on my man too. No, but,
do you feel
there's like, no way you can believe that?
So I feel like these beliefs are very loud though. And I feel like they have contributed to the gender 100%.
Wars.
Do you think that it has to do with the narrative going further and louder because of social media? Like our parents' generation, if a man stepped outside of his household
yeah, nobody
or cheated,
knew. Yeah,
it that was, stayed within the community or
yeah,
the village.
Yeah, yeah.
Now things are done publicly. There's video, there's photo,
yep.
there's text message
yeah,
evidence.
Yep,
there's not
yep.
there's so many tools for us to find out, but also for us to not just investigate, but mm-hmm. also see mm-hmm. it going on in other people's mm-hmm. lives, right?
And it's, I feel like it's also a huge platform where it's culturally visually accepted.
Mm.
So these younger girls are looking at, listening to this music mm-hmm. that's like, it don't matter what he do as long as he give me a bag. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, it's okay. I don't want love anyway. Mm-hmm. I just want the trip. But it's like, you really want love, but you're just going to take that because you've already pre-programmed your mm-hmm. mind to say, he's going to cheat anyway. He ain't shit. No way. Let me just get money, a bag,
yep.
a trip. And now it's this endless cycle. And the only way to break the cycle is for somebody to do it.
Yep.
Like you have to do it. You have to be the one to be like, no, like, I don't believe that. I'm not going to live that. I'm not going to walk in that. No matter what I see on these blogs, no matter what I see in culture, no matter how many celebrities mm-hmm. I see going back and forth, getting embarrassed by their partner, going, it's like, you know, it's just culturally the norm. I think that's what we see in culture as mm-hmm. normal. And it's just not. It's not.
It's not. We have to end the narrative that
yeah,
it's normal.
That it's normal.
Because it's not normal. It's actually abnormal.
It's actually abnormal.
But how do we get back to a healthy place?
I think it starts with yourself. Like, really, I know y'all be lonely. I know y'all I know, I get it. I've been single for 2 years. Before my ex, I was single for 8. Okay, I get it. Like, I know you be lonely. I know you be bored. Do something else with your time. You know, if you're bored, go start a business. Go.
Everybody, just go start a
just
business.
Just go start a business.
That's the solution.
But I think it's like really making the choice and the decision to be like, this is not my life
mm-hmm.
or what I want for my life. And I think that's what I do. Like, I even do it with the smallest things. Like if I have to go to the gym, right, at 6 a.m., I know the night before I'm like, I'm gonna wake up at 6 a.m. I'm gonna go to the gym. I'm about to get this workout in. Early bird gets the worm. And then that alarm goes off. I literally be in my bed like, okay, on three, you're gonna get up. Like, you have to literally play these games mm-hmm. with yourself because, yes, my flesh doesn't want to get up. But I know that that is what is best for me long-term, longevity. So it's the same thing with relationship. Do not answer that call. Mm-hmm. Do not go back to that. You know that's not your husband. You know, making those conscious decisions to really remove yourself from things that don't serve you.
So one of the things that I was so proud of you when I got the call from you that Chris cheated, was that not only did you end the relationship immediately, but you didn't continue to entertain him. Yeah. You didn't continue checking for him a little bit, but I made you stop looking at his page, and we had like a conversation about like, how are we going to remove him fully? Yeah. And you didn't text him. You weren't like checking for him. You weren't absorbing yourself with the life that you thought you guys were going to have.
Yeah.
So it was like almost releasing and not allowing for obsession to take place.
Yeah.
Because I think oftentimes we will do that, right? We'll be like, but you promised me this and you promised me this and you said you were going to do this. Yep. And so we still remain hopeful that that person's going to come back or, you know, beg for forgiveness. Yep. And you cut it off cold turkey.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people that's the first are time capable I've ever done that. Of doing that.
Yeah, I agree. There was a point in my life where I wasn't capable of doing that. If it was probably 5 years, 4 years, even 3 years prior, I probably would have went back and went back and went back. But that solo time, you guys, is the time for you to do the self-work and make up your mind on what you truly will and won't accept. Don't make it up when you're in love. Like, it's like, all right, I already love you, whatever. Like, you're figuring it out while you're already, you know, you're too deep in love with this man now. I had my mind made up on certain things, not everything. And mind you, like, my ex is a phenomenal, he was a phenomenal man. He was a phenomenal person. He was the life of the party. He was so sweet. And there was things in the relationship that I should have done better. Mm-hmm. Like, I probably wasn't the best girlfriend, like, in certain ways. You get what I'm saying? But for me, I had one non-negotiable. I had a few, but one of my non-negotiables, I made that up in my mind prior to the relationship. So I was like, going into the next relationship, this is what I won't allow. And I decided to stick by that promise I made to myself.
If we had to talk to any of your exes and ask them what your toxic relationship trait could be, because they exist in all of us. What would it be the most growth? If I would ask one of your exes where you should grow, what would you say?
Grow.
Where could you have grown more?
Maybe projecting. Like, I noticed that a little bit in my last relationship, like things that I would nitpick at him, like, you need it. Like, I'm not planting the seed. I'm not encouraging you. I'm telling you what you need to fix, what you need to do better. How can I think I'm motivating you? Like, if you would just, you would be. It's like, first of all, be quiet. Because if you would just, you would be. Like, I think I projected so much. Like, there was, I'm not going to go into detail about it, but something that he did that I didn't like. And I'm like, why do you do that? Like, just nagging about it. And I really sat back one day. I was like, Braylon, wow. Like, you do the exact same thing, just in a different way. You just have a different vice with it. It might not look the same, but that's exactly who you are in a different area of your life. So projecting, like, wanting to fix everything in them, it's like, girl, you got a million things to fix in you. Fix you. Plant seeds of growth in that man. Plant seeds of where you see he is doing phenomenal. And I didn't just like bash my boyfriend. Like, I hate you. You're not. No, I didn't do that.
There was moments of frustration. Yes. You were good at affirming, but there was moments of a frustration.
Yes.
And in a relationship, you get permission to be frustrated with your partner. It's not always like perfect. Yeah. You're going to see things that you're like, dang, I would like you to be better in this area. I see more for you, right? And you don't want to be in love with potential. You actually want to see the person like execute the things you know that they're capable of.
But like, who they are in that moment is who they are. And they have to make the choice to want to live up to their potential.
Correct. You can't force it.
Their better self. So I think I don't know if that's that is toxic. I don't know if that's toxic. I was really trying to encourage him. No, girl. So encouraging and motivating and pushing in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. I think I did it in a way that's like pushing the partner away. Like, this is not who he is right now. And either you're going to plant those seeds and watch him grow, mm-hmm. or you're going to plant the seeds and he's not going to grow and you can decide to walk away.
Yes. I remember this talking about this with you and asking if you had to accept him right now as he is without the growth. Let's just say this is
he never changed.
He never changes. Could you marry that? Mm-hmm. Because I remember purpose being so big for you, and you're like, I need him walking more in his purpose. Mm-hmm. I need him walking more in his purpose. Mm-hmm. And I felt like purpose was so important to you, and he was still in his process and on his journey of discovering his purpose. And it was frustrating for you to not have his like self-love as high maybe mm-hmm. and his discernment and his wisdom as knowledgeable as yours, because you were doing like a comparison.
Yeah, comparing and this and that. And it was just, that was my toxic trait.
But with us bringing it to the light and you bringing attention to it, mm-hmm. you acknowledged it, but then guess what you did? You were like, okay, that's a problem that I'm doing this. How can I work on it?
How can I be better?
And you always were receptive to like, okay, I need to change the language that I'm using. I need to be supportive also through actions. Yeah. Like you've always been someone who has worked towards like that growth for yourself and then how you show up in relationship.
Yeah. So and wanting to be better.
Yeah. Wanting to be better. But I think it's important that you be in relationship with someone who also wants to be better, not for you, but for themselves
for them,
as well.
For them. And I don't want to be with a partner, and this off of my ex, I'm saying in general, I don't want to be with a partner that wants to be better for me. Mm-hmm. I I want you to be a better human for you and your relationship with God and your spiritual journey and you on this earth being who God called you to be as a man. And that will just naturally be better for me. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to let me be better for you or be better because this is what you want me to do. I want you to just be better because you want to be evolve as a human on your own. And that will naturally be better for me, you know?
And that's true, because if you are like the sole reason that they're doing it.
Yeah. It's like, do you even really want to do it?
Do you want to do it? If I'm not in the picture, will you still be this way? And then also, what if I fall off and I need you to pick us back up? If it's not really in you and it's only indicative
I need
of
that dog
me,
in you.
How are you going to pull me out of my dark moments? Yep. How are you going to enrich my life and grow me?
Yeah.
So I like that you don't want full responsibility.
Yeah.
being on you and the reason being you behind it.
Yeah.
What role do you think that, and I want you kind of to speak to the influence that women have over men. Mm-hmm. Because I think that we mentioned earlier the power that we have as women to kind of shift the gender wars that mm-hmm. are going on. What do you think as women we could be doing more of to get men who maybe don't have the father figure or the men who they look up to mm-hmm. be a good role model in relationship for them? How can we help assist?
Maybe affirming them, speaking life into them, pulling out the positive things you see in them, opposed to always nitpicking the negative or the problem or the this, the that, like speaking life into them and telling them who God called them to be. Like, I don't need you to do this. No, you know, you are loved. You are wonderfully made. You have a purpose. Like, you're so smart. What are the things that we can pull out of them with support, opposed to being like, you're not doing this right?
Do you think that has to be, because I feel like we will do that in relationship, but not men on the street?
I think all the way around.
So we need to be responsible doing it for all men
all the way around. Like, even Megan was talking about this, my co-host Megan Ashley, shout
hi
out
Megan.
No for sure podcast.
We miss you.
She was like, I am being intentional on being nicer to men that try to talk to me that I don't want to talk to.
Beautiful.
Like, even if I don't want to talk to them, I'm being nice to them. I'm being intentional on how I reject a black man, how I say no to a black man, I love complimenting them.
Yes.
I just see that. I'm like, I love it. I find something that I do like, so I'm not just lying. Like, you look so handsome. Jesus. You look a mess. But find something. I love your hat. I love your haircut. You look fresh today. And a lot of men think that's flirting, and sometimes we just go on, you know. But speaking life into them and letting them know, like, I see you. Mm-hmm. Because I love that. We love that as a as black women, and getting that from black men. There's certain things that when black men say it,
it's
I'm
powerful.
Like, what? it means so much coming from you.
Yes.
I need y'all to say how y'all love us. I need y'all to say how our hair looks beautiful. Yes. I need y'all to say how our skin color is fine. Whether we're light, we're dark, we're in the middle, we're mocha, we're chocolate, we're vanilla.
The whole rainbow of us.
The whole rainbow of us Black women, or us colorful Black women, it means more coming from a Black man. Even if it's not romantic, it can be a platonic compliment, you know?
So. I'm an assist, but I want you to break down the why. I'm a cis, but I want you to break down the why.
Because you're Black. But, and it means a why. Lot coming from you because we're the same. I want you to know that a Black man loves me. Not that I'm not good enough for, you know, a Black man. And that's what I want. I want my kids to be Black. I want to date a Black man. So knowing that we mean something to y'all.
Okay, so I'm going to expand on it just a little bit because I think that anytime we bring up gender war or and the role that our Black culture plays that on it that's going on right now is that as Black women, we aren't celebrated enough in society. Mm-hmm. And so when we have someone who mirrors us, when we have the yin to our yang, right? Mirroring us and saying, hey, not only do I love you, I love myself through you, right? Because you are my rib. It is more than a compliment. It is a affirmation that we matter. It is an affirmation that we are seen, that we are understood.
Yep.
And when you are a part of a culture where the men within your culture is the fastest growing population to date outside of the race and be with others, and mind you, and yes, this is coming from someone who is mixed, I am saying, though, that I still understand what's going on within the culture as a Black and Mexican woman, that it is something that we as Black women are dealing with all the time, is having to still love us through feeling and seeing sometimes our men not. And it looks like not just maybe being with someone else, but speaking negatively about us.
Yeah.
And so when we have positive reinforcement and someone saying, hey, I love you, you beautiful Black queen, or your skin color, or not just the texture of your skin, but just the way that you are a visionary, the way that you are more than just strong. You also are capable of being loving and vulnerable. And I want to take care of you and your needs.
Because like the opposite of that, just like society telling a Black man, you're this, you're that.
Correct.
Black men are thugs. Black men are niggas. Black men, man, they always leave the household. Black society is telling us that every day. No, I'm going to look at you and be like, you are powerful. You're so smart. You're so sexy.
Yes.
I love the way you look. I know you probably have billion-dollar ideas in that mind. Yep. Like, you are not what society is portraying you to be. Black women are hoes. Black women are this. Black women are the bottom of the barrel. No, it feels good for a Black man to see that, of course, that's not what we are. You know what I mean? So the opposite of that, like you said, affirming that Black man, society is telling you, you belong behind bars.
And I think also, society is also demonizing us for having standards. So I think this plays into the gender war is being told as a Black woman that you have to settle or that you can't aspire for greatness or have a high value man and that you need to settle. I think it's unfair to tell someone that they not only should not want what they want, but that they're incapable of getting what they want. And I do think that there's some like skill set that we will teach you that through the spicy life. But it really is about mindset and belief system, which I think that your belief system, you've helped like crack some of that code.
Yeah.
In the positive thinking, even if you haven't experienced it for yourself, you still remain in the light, right? You haven't allowed for like this shadow of darkness to like take over. You're still like, nope, I have a goal. I'm going to attain it. How do I achieve it? How do I get there? Does it mean I have to get coaching? Does it mean I need to go to more therapy? Does it mean I need to not eat for 10 days because you are on some crazy cleansing stuff? I'm like, wait, you didn't eat for 10
all
days?
The things.
You do whatever it takes by any means necessary. Yep. And I love that about you, but that is why you've been able to prove to yourself that you shouldn't give up.
Right.
And I think that's what sets you apart sometimes from the haves and have nots or the doers and the do nots is that you're like, even though I failed, I'm going to get back up 100 times.
It's literally like the analogy that came to mind, running on a track. If you just look at the whole Okay, one lap. And they're like, oh, man, I cannot run that lap. I don't believe that. I believe that before I get around there, I'm going to pass out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just sit right here. And whoever comes to me, comes to me. If you just run a little bit, you're like, okay, that wasn't that bad. Like, I'm like one fourth of the way there.
I can do it.
But you have to start. With everything. That's how you build your faith, your hope, your confidence, by starting and doing something and seeing the seed you planted come to fruition. You're like, it's a track record.
For sure.
You know, it's like the more you do it, it's like, I believe it. You see the fruit of your labor. You see the seed you've been planting. But a lot of people don't even start, or they start and then they trip and they've tripped backwards. So they're like, dang, I'm back to square one.
Facts.
Okay. Start again.
Yeah.
Do it again. You got to do it again. You can make it around that track, but you have to start.
For sure.
Yeah.
And on that note, you guys, you need to start. If you can't do it on your own, if you're having a lack of success in the relationship area and actually not just attracting what you want, but attaining what you want, being in a healthy, committed relationship, if you've never seen it, if you've never experienced it, it may be hard to believe that it exists for you.
Mm-hmm.
You need to sign up for my class.
Come
your
on.
Purpose mate awaits.
Mm-hmm.
6 weeks, I'm going to coach you and guide you in a classroom setting where you actually get to get relationship advice from me in 1 hour an evening. You're going to have homework. You're going to have exercises that you do. And then you're going to come together with other sisters that understand what you're going through and have questions around relationships. And so it really is an accelerated course around my Spicy Life program. So we'll explore self, passion, intimacy, communication, and learning to say yes, which are the 5 fundamental things you need for a healthy relationship. So sign up ASAP for your Purpose Mate 08.
I'm signing up.
Yes. No, you're doing one-on-one.
No. Oh, yeah. I was like, I'm signing up for something. I'm about to get back in there. Yeah.
It's an accelerated version, like 6 weeks versus the 90-day program, which the 90-day program is great, but... one-on-one coaching does make a difference in like your experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that for what you're trying to achieve, like you want a husband like tomorrow, we need to go through.
And I want to prepare to be a wife. Like, I'm not just like, I want a husband. I'm like, I want to make sure I'm the best version. Like, so when I do meet him, I don't mess it up or I don't run him off or I don't like, that was a great man. Oh my God. I'm so childish. I don't know how to walk in my feminine. Like, I want to make sure I'm ready. You know,
you keep saying you don't know how to walk in your feminine.
I know. I don't think I'm fully there.
Okay. What is it? And who told you that you're not feminine enough? Where are we getting this belief from?
I'm getting that belief because I feel like I'm always put in the sister, homegirl, funny girl box. So I think I kind of do that initially as a defense mechanism. Because it's like, if you don't like me, if I'm not good enough for you, if I'm not, I'm just going to be funny. I'm going to be your homie. I'm going to be cool. And
but
it's
who
like,
says being funny isn't feminine?
Well, no, I know. But I'm just saying like, I don't know. I just put up that wall as a protection. Like, let me just be the, I'm your homie. I'm like doing.
Okay. So yes.
The homie
so
stuff.
So you're actually right. If you are putting up a wall for protection, that would be masculine.
Because
energy.
I'm not confident in my feminine, I feel like.
That sounds like you got a little bit of wounded masculine and wounded feminine going on though. Right. So like if you were more codependent or if you were making more excuses or if you had more manipulation in your wounded, I would say, okay, you're definitely in the wounded feminine.
Okay.
But because you are putting up this defense, you're in your wounded masculine. So you are right about the masculine energy,
mm-hmm.
but it's not, I'm just operating in my masculine energy. You're in your wounded masculine energy because what happens is we will find that, we are extremely attached when we're in our wounded feminine. Mm-hmm. We may be more needy, we may be more anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, okay, those energies don't serve me because I keep getting rejected in my wounded feminine. And it hurts too bad to experience those.
Yeah.
So instead of being in my wounded feminine, I'm going to be in my wounded masculine and just be like, maybe a dick or...
right, or be funny,
or be this.
Or
you
be,
know,
this.
Be this trickster, this, you know, this jokester, this asshole, because... that feels better than the hurt and anxiety over in our wounded feminine.
Yeah.
And I have even been guilty of those shifts of being like in my wounded feminine and then being like, okay, being clingy doesn't work for me and I ain't gonna heal that.
Right.
I'm instead just put this wall up in my wounded masculine and protect myself.
Yeah.
Neither one are serving the situation. So that means we need to do wounded masculine work.
Okay.
Because you keep saying, I'm masculine energy. Girl, you wounded masculine energy.
Mm.
So if we break that down, you will be Oh, that makes so much sense. Okay. This is why we need to do the individual work. Part of what you experienced with Chris and why you guys were magnets for each other was not only because you operate in your wounded masculine, and you probably did feel comfortable and more safe with him, but he too was in his wounded masculine. Mm. And so there was an understanding that was going on there. Mm. And this is why we had to do a lot of intimacy work with you guys. Mm-hmm. Even like the expression part and like delivery of your messaging, because both of you guys would go toe to toe and be like, okay, well, you're not going to out man me. And then you'd be like, well, he went too far. He hurt my feelings.
Yep.
And
now you're feminine.
Now you want to be feminine.
Yeah.
So, but there's work to be done because I don't want you to repeat that, right?
For
I want
sure.
us to heal that
For
so
sure.
that you also don't gravitate to wound some a man who is, he could be a great guy, but who's heavy on the wounded masculine.
Okay.
I want like us to do some healing work around that. And I didn't mean to go so far off, but you brought that to my attention and I needed to really address it really quick.
Yeah.
So this brings us back to gender wars though, because what we do see happening in society is wounded feminine fighting wounded masculine. And what I mean by that is if you guys are even familiar with attachment theory, there's anxious attachment, avoidant attachment, and secure attachment.
Mm-hmm.
Within that theory, it says that secure attachment are more likely to gravitate to each other and take themselves off the market.
Mm.
Therefore, leaving anxious and avoidant attachment, right? Anxious is like, we're going to just say needy. Avoidant is afraid of commitment.
Okay.
Those two people are left on the market together, now either becoming in relationship with one another and highlighting each other's inadequacies.
Mm.
So when we speak to the gender wars going on, there is truth that there are not great men on the market and not great women, but we are not all like that.
Yeah.
But what we do see happening, though, when you don't do the healing work, is unhealed people getting with unhealed people, hurting one another, and then being mad at the world that they've been hurt, but they have been magnets for those hurt people.
Yep. Yeah,
because a healed person isn't going to make it easy to fall in love with an unhealed person.
Wow.
They're going to recognize, oh, you're unhealed. There's too much work to be done. Ooh, I need to walk away,
I have to
sir.
Walk away.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think, you bring this this point to us. It helps with some of your guys' maybe understanding around what's going on. But one of the things that B said that I think is important is her not repeating the narrative, right? Like her not speaking negatively about it and perpetuating, and instead like reinforcing the positive things about Black men,
100%.
The positive things that you love about men.
Yep.
Because you're not just telling the world that, you're telling yourself that.
Yeah.
So that when you are in their presence and you and Megan are in their company, you guys are like, you know what? I'm going to be kind because I want to receive kindness.
Yeah.
I'm going to be love and light because I want to receive love and light. And I think that that is where we start, is not looking at men to 100% change, because that's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
We're not going to be able to solve for all the fatherless
everybody,
homes,
oof,
the institution of jail. We're not going to be able to solve for men who we've let have reckless behavior.
Yeah.
I think that we are going to have to take accountability for ourselves, and men will follow.
Yeah.
Of course, they'll feel like it's their idea in the end.
like, we made this up. Yeah.
They're going to be like, we knew we could change the world. And us ladies are going to be like, we decided we weren't going to settle. We made y'all rise to the occasion. And I think that is what it's going to take, is us making them rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
With almost having to remove not ourselves from love, but being love. And if they don't reciprocate, us saying, well, you can't have me then.
Yep.
Not us turning off love. And I think that's what we're doing, is we're turning off love. Versus saying, no, I'm going to be love. If you are not
just
love,
not with you,
and you can't join me,
next,
I got to go.
Yep.
And you can stay wounded and go get you a wounded chicky boom boom.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know you're going to talk about your love life.
Non-existent.
Who are we dating?
Any unwounded. Please DM Spicy so she can hit me up.
Yes, let me know. I need to set her up.
Set me up. I want to go on some dates. I want to go on blind dates.
Are we going on dates? What are we doing? What are we doing for our love life
if
right
somebody
now?
Would ask me.
So nobody's asking you out?
No.
Do we like anybody?
No.
Is there anybody who we have our eye on?
I went on 2 dates when I was in Dubai.
Okay.
One guy, I was like, I would never be with you. It was just fun. He was like, on the edge thug. If I was 24, I would have been like, this is my boyfriend.
Yes.
This is my man. The other date was like, he was cool, but it was like, you're boring. I need a little more spice in my life.
But aren't you the spice in his life?
I need some spice too.
I want to laugh. I want to feel something.
Okay, so he was he a good dude? Like, did
yes.
he?
Okay. I think they both were good dudes.
Okay.
But one was just a little too hood. He was like a thug.
Okay, so we're trying to keep you out of jail. But the good guy.
Yeah.
Like, and this is why I feel like we turn good guys into villains. Why couldn't the good guy be good enough?
I don't feel like he was alpha enough.
Okay.
I feel like he was timid. Mm. And I went over this with my therapist. She's like, why were you so attracted to the thug? Mm. Or why were you so... She was like, what did you like about him? And I listed all the qualities that I liked about him. She was like, so you weren't attracted to his toxicity. It wasn't like you were trying to go to jail. Mm-hmm. You liked that he was a leader. You liked that he was confident. Mm-hmm. You liked that he made you feel protected. You liked that he was financially stable.
Yeah.
Like all of these things. You liked that he walked in the room, was respected.
Yeah.
So I can have those things in a good man, though, not in somebody that's on the run from the cops.
And you're saying that the nice guy, the guy who was swell,
not as confident.
Okay.
I don't feel like he was as confident. I feel like he was more like, I don't know if I can really date her. He was more timid. Mm-hmm. He was a little more shy. Yes, we had a little laughing moments. He was a little funny, but I don't feel like he was as confident.
Okay, question. Do people get 100% of you when they first meet you, or do they sometimes get the wrong impression and need to experience you again?
90% of the time, probably 100% of me, and that's probably why I'm single. That is the problem.
Okay.
But I've been pulling it back. I've been actually pulling it back. So no, not all of the time. No, they do not get 100%.
Okay, me. You're going against the point that I was
trying
to make.
I'm sorry. I know what you're saying.
But I would disagree with that. I think that while you are an authentic person, I think when it comes to the pressure that we put on ourselves with dating,
yeah,
I don't think that on the first date, he gets to see how much you worship men and that he gets to experience your love and light.
Everything,
Because you already told me that around men, you put on comedy B. Simone, you don't give Braylon. Mm-hmm. And so I would disagree, although I think that you have a big personality and you are extra, and that's what, hey, look, I celebrate the extraness because I am too. I don't think they immediately from the jump, they get to experience all of your spirit.
Yeah.
And the thing that I'm challenging on with him is that he should get permission to be nervous around you and your greatness.
Yeah.
And for you to say like, well, he didn't make me laugh, or, you know, he wasn't as confident as I wanted. Okay. I don't think that we need to say he was intimidated. I think that he should get permission to say, gosh,
I'm
fortunate to be here. I can't believe
for sure
that I have like an incredible person in front
for
of
sure
me. I would love to explore getting to know her more. And this is why I always say that someone needs to go on 3 dates before we throw them out if they haven't broke any of our deal breakers.
I honestly would have went on another date with him if we were in the same country. Like, I didn't totally be like, this guy's a loser.
You travel internationally all the time.
I know. 15 hours though? God. Dubai? I mean, we still text and stuff, but I'm like, I probably would have been on another date with him already if we were closer.
No, you would have been on another date with him if you hadn't already X'd him out. Because your energy, after you made up your mind that he wasn't enough for you, shifted. The moment you say, like, no, I don't want you, that's not like you using discernment in that moment. You're passing judgment because he didn't make you feel the things that you expected to feel on that date. And I'm saying that chemistry that you were looking for sometimes has to be grown and nurtured.
Yeah.
Versus like, okay, you know, I don't want to have to settle, and I don't think that this is settling. I think it's somebody who's nervous or meeting you for the first time.
Like, that's okay.
He may be a little guarded too in the beginning.
Yeah.
So you going back out with him, we should have followed up with some text messages, like showing him appreciation.
Yeah.
But not just that, letting him know that he was likable.
Yeah.
And I know you, once you made your mind up that you didn't like him, started giving, you don't have a chance energy.
Yeah.
So therefore we're going to be hitting him up when we get off the show.
I talked after the date.
Oh no, we're going to be hitting him up with flirtation.
Come on,
does your flirtation look like?
Flirting?
Ugh. Yes. What does flirting look like? Because you said you'll do the funny.
I compliment.
Okay.
I guess.
Is that flirtation?
Yeah.
You're beautiful. Is that flirtation?
I guess not.
No. I want to know if that's your definition of flirtation.
You look so good. Heart eyes, emojis.
Okay. So yes, a compliment is sweet.
Yeah.
Right? That's an affirmation. Mm-hmm. Like, thank you. I am beautiful. I appreciate that. But I want you to lean more into the playful teasing of flirtation.
Okay, give me an example.
An example would be you sending him a text saying, confession, I enjoyed you more than I gave off.
Mm.
I shouldn't be saying this, but I would love this time for us to spend together on the beach. Like it could be simple.
Invite.
Yeah, it could be simple, but you put a mention of like something around the beach or just whatever. Now he gets to imagine like you in a swimsuit. If you want to go even further, we can say, I just wish you were here next to me right now.
Oh, that's cute.
And that's flirtation versus, but it's like, did anyone tell you today that you're handsome?
Do you mean it?
You don't have to mean flirtation. I think I said this on No For Sure podcast. You don't have to mean it. We want to stimulate emotions that create excitement. We want to because we want someone to be 100% into us on the first date. Like, he's still getting to know you. So just like how he may not have come with flirtation as well, and he thinks that I have to mean whatever I'm saying to her. That's too much pressure. I think oftentimes it's just being friendly and inviting and your likable self.
Seeing where this goes.
And playful. We're not playful with each other anymore because we're too worried about being too cool for school.
Yeah.
Trying to give off the energy that we don't need you.
Yeah.
But really, we do want companionship.
You
actually,
partner.
I do want a partner.
Yep.
So I'll be making you text him when we get done.
Okay, I will, girl. I'm like,
but you aren't dating any situationships right now?
No.
Because if we start working together, I'm going to need to know.
That's the problem. I'm telling you. I'm like, please, somebody date
me. Okay, you mentioned that you were on a dating app. What happened with that?
I gave like 5 guys my number. And then it was like, what is happening here? It was so like, y'all do not want relationships.
Okay, how did you identify that?
I think two of them said it. Like, I just want to have fun. And I think by their effort, like, it wasn't really consistent. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, like, consistency.
What energy did you give off? What did you put forward?
Hey, I'm here. I don't know. It was so long ago. I really don't remember. I have no idea.
I'm going to tell you what. When we get done with this episode, I'm going to create a Bumble dating profile for you.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to choose your photos. Let's do it. Let's do it.
I'm going to write your bio, and I'm going to show you how we present ourselves for the man that we want to attract versus for what we would like.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between writing it for him versus for ourselves.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to choose the prompt.
I'm going to show you my bio.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I could only imagine. Because we didn't have to do this before. Before you had like a relationship and you wanted the coaching, now you need to be coached on like
being
what it looks like being single.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have to feel like work. It doesn't have to feel bothersome or, you know, like, oh, this is, I'm dreading this thing.
Yeah.
It can still be fun and playful and enjoyable. Because a lot of us think that, oh, when I get the relationship, that's when I'm going to, you know, go hard or go home.
Yeah.
But like, this is just the pregaming to the relationship. If you
dating
don't want to work
though.
Now,
yeah,
there's only more work when you get into the relationship.
Way more. Yeah.
So I'm excited. I'm going to do this for you.
Come on, let's do it. Find me a man out there.
We're going to get you. Oh my God, B. You are incredible and you are incredible in partnership.
Thank you.
But I need you on the dating realm to work your dating life the way that you have your career.
Yeah.
Which means putting yourself out there, taking risks, doing what you know is good for you. I need you to learn to fall in love with what is good for you.
Yeah.
And love is good for you.
Love is good for you.
Okay, you are going to let everybody know where they can find you, where they can get your product. What do you have going on right now, like as far as projects?
I'm on tour, stand-up. Y'all, please come see the shows. I'm in Ohio this weekend. I'm in all the flyers and stuff is on my page. Stand up. I'm back on the road. I haven't been on the road in 7 months. Mm. So I'm excited to be back doing stand up.
Okay. Dating for you is going to be challenging with your schedule. which means that our boo may not be in our city. He may be in one of the cities that we're visiting.
Well, I hope so.
So we're going to set our Mumble location to traveling. I got you.
Ohio. He might be in Toledo.
And you guys know you can always play with my Twitter or stroke my IG at SpicyMadi. Go to thespicylife.com, click and subscribe. Share this episode with a friend. We're out here as beautiful women, making sure that we do our part to not just not settle, but make sure that we do demands that men rise to the occasion of superiority. But we ourselves need to be superior women. And there you guys have it. You have just been spiced.
I can't wait to get back in your course. Jesus.
The Spicy Life. No, dating is different. Like, when I need to teach you the communication part. Mm-hmm. You are great at communication. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to expressing yourself in relationship or even connecting with someone who you haven't formed a relationship with, it's very different.
Yeah, right? For
like
sure.
Creating
for sure.
a relationship out of thin air is very different.
For sure.
And so how you guide a man's emotions to becoming attached to you is a process.
Yeah.
And it is a numbers game. And we're going to have to keep going through those doors until he's in door number 20.
Okay. Deal.
We're done though.
Oh,
the episode is over.
Oh, I'm like, deal.
There you have it. You have just been spiced again.
Bye, y'all.